Our second reading comes from the 6th chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 32 through 36. And I invite you again to hear the Word of God. Jesus says here, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, a couple of months ago, Jen and I went out to lunch on a Friday. It was my day off, the kids were still in school, so we went to our favorite soup and sandwich place. When we walked in, we noticed that it was a lot more crowded than usual. There's a big group of people standing in this area where you come to get your food. So you order, and they make it, you come over here and pick it up. There's a big crowd of people right there. They were standing there, waiting. Because as we got up to the counter, we noticed that there was only one person behind the counter preparing food. Usually there are two or three there, but that day there was one person working the lunch shift. She's scrambling back and forth, looking at the order slips, and then going and trying to make sandwiches and put soup in bowls. She explained that the person who was supposed to be there working with her had just not shown up. She's apologizing to all the people waiting over and over again. She's apologizing. You could tell that she was flustered and frustrated and just overwhelmed by this. So Jen and I waited in line for a while, and we put our orders in. And then we went and sat down. There was nowhere else that we had to be, so we were not in a hurry. We didn't mind waiting, and we understood that it must be hard for one woman back there serving all these people by herself. So we certainly weren't going to rush her or complain. We just sat there with our drinks, and we talked. As we sat there, more and more people came in. The woman behind the counter would call out a name to come pick up their order. She called, "Bill." But Bill had walked out 20 minutes ago. So here she's scrambling to prepare food for somebody who's already left, using her time to do that. People had put in orders 30, 45, 50 minutes before, and they just got tired of waiting. So they left. The people who were still there waiting for their food started expressing their frustration. They started yelling at her. "I really need to get back to work. All I had was a bowl of chicken noodle. Could you please just pour that so I can go?" I mean, you could feel the tension in this restaurant. It did not feel good. As we sat there watching all of this, I started to feel really bad for this woman behind the counter. Like, I've worked food service before, and I have dealt with busy lunch shifts. I know how hard this can be, but I have never had to do it all by myself. So at one point, I walked up to the counter to her, and I said, "You seem like you could really use some help. And I know it's probably against every rule, but could I come back there and just put soup in bowls while you make sandwiches?" And she looked at me, and I could see her hesitating. Like, she wanted the help, but she knew there's all kinds of health code and workplace rules that this would be violating. And so she's kind of like hemming and hawing and not wanting, and I'm like, "Can I please just come back and help you?" And she stops and says, "That would be awesome." And so I went behind the counter, I washed my hands, put on some gloves, and I started serving soup. Now, I've eaten there enough. This was our favorite place. So I've eaten there enough that I knew what all the soups were. There's like 10 different kinds of soups there. And I knew what the sizes were and how things were served and plated. So it was surprisingly easy. We started knocking out orders and catching up. But the thing was, more and more people kept coming in. And they hadn't been there when I went behind the counter, so they had no idea that I did not work there. So they're asking me for samples, and I'm giving them free samples of the soup. And Like, they're asking me questions that I did not know the answer to. Like, is this soup gluten-free? And I'm just like, yes. We're going to say this soup is gluten-free. That, I don't know. And the funny thing is, they eventually started getting frustrated with me because we were doing our best, but service was still slow. Right? So, but I'm back there having the time of my life. Like, this was so much fun. I joke with Jen afterwards, this is how, like, as a teenager, you dream about going to see your favorite rock band in concert, but the lead singer is sick that night, and so they bring you up on stage to sing. That's how I, like, at 40, that's the closest I can get to that. But that's what it felt like to me. Stephanie and I were back there slinging soup and sandwiches, and we were feeding the masses, right? So eventually, people stopped coming in, and we served the last ticket. And we looked at each other like, we did it! Like, we made it through the lunch rush. And so I poured the soup that Jen and I had ordered, slipped out from behind the counter right as her boss walked in the door. So no one knew, and no one got in trouble, and we finally got to eat our lunch. Now, I'm going to be honest. I really went back and forth as to whether I was going to tell this story this morning, or if I should have told it as, while we were sitting there, some other person got up and went behind the counter to help, because I didn't want to, like, paint myself as the paragon of kindness. Because truth be told, full disclosure here, I saw a bad car accident happen on Tuesday, but I kept driving right past it because I saw other people stopping to help, and I figured they've probably got this. So we all have our moments, right? Moments where we get it right and moments where we miss out on it. But why would I do that? Why would I go back there to help her serve soup? I didn't know her. We weren't friends. I didn't know any of those other people waiting for their food. And they were being kind of rude. So honestly, I didn't really care if they got their food on time or if they got it at all. They were being rude. And even though I had fun doing it, it wasn't because of what I would get out of it. It wasn't like there was some reward waiting for me at the end. I wasn't going to get a job there or anything like that. It wasn't about me. That woman behind the counter needed help. And I had compassion for her. And knew that I might be able to help her out. And so I did. What would cause those people who saw that car accident and stopped to get out and do that? There was no reward in that for them. And that was not a fun situation. But they had compassion for whoever was in that car. And they thought that they might be able to help. And so they did. I read an article this past week. It's a story about in Washington, D.C., this woman had gotten off of work and she went and picked up her 4-year-old son who has autism at daycare. So she goes and gets him from daycare, they go to the grocery store, and then they go get on the metro train for like this hour ride back outside D.C. where they live. And a little ways into this metro ride, her son starts having a meltdown. Something upset him, you know, a small child with autism, something upset him, and he just lost it. And he is kicking and screaming and throwing his shoes. He is pulling his mom's hair and hitting her. He has just lost all control. And she is trying to, like, calm him down. She's doing everything that she knows to do. And 30 minutes go by, and she is not able to calm him down. It's just getting worse and worse. And the other people on the train are looking like, what is wrong with this mom who has, like, no control over her child? Because they don't know the backstory. So no one is coming to help out, and she figures, I just need to get him off the train. Usually getting off the train will calm him down. So one stop before the stop where they had to switch trains, she just gets him off. And it didn't help. Things just keep getting worse. He's throwing himself on the ground, on the platform there, and now he's dirty, and he's screaming and kicking, and she's trying to keep all these bags and groceries, and no one is stopping to help. So as she is standing there, just completely overwhelmed, a policeman comes up. And comes up to her and says, do you need a hand? And with tears in her eyes, she says, she's explaining what's going on, that her son has autism, and she's tried everything to calm him down. And so this policeman kneels down in front of him and starts showing him all of his police gear. His badge and his walkie-talkie and his gun and all this stuff that he's got on. And the boy stops crying. And so the policeman says to him, "Could you come and help me be a policeman? Could you come help me do police work on this train?" The boy nods his head yes. And so they get on this train and they ride to the next station where they're supposed to switch trains and go 30 more minutes to their next stop to go home. And the kid's doing great. The policeman has calmed him now. So they get to this next station and the mother comes up to him to thank him and, you know, just say how grateful she is for this. When she realizes that he's getting off with them and gets on the next train with them and rides 30 more minutes all the way to the stop where they get off. And she's saying, "No, I was not expecting him to do this. Like, his job was done. He calmed him down, but he came with us the rest of the way. And he's taking pictures with the kid on a phone. And this little four-year-old boy who has autism is holding the policeman's hand the whole way, which is not always something that kids with autism are going to do. They don't always like being touched. And so this policeman knows what a big deal this is. So he's holding this boy's hand. They make it all the way to the final stop. The mom and the son get off the train, and the policeman goes back to his job. Now, why would he do that? That was not in his job description. Like, he has work that he has to do at the station. And he goes almost an hour out of his way to take these people home because he saw her struggling and he had compassion for her and he went out of his way to help. Kindness is an act that shows love to someone else with absolutely no consideration as to how it will benefit you. You do something for someone without any thought about what's in it for you. In fact, a lot of times, kindness can end up costing you something. Kindness is not driven by what you get out of it or how it makes you feel. When you are acting in kindness, your actions are totally driven by what it does for that other person. I think a lot of times, like we heard in the children's time, we can think of kindness as just being nice. But it is so much more than that. Kindness is about helping that other person find fullness and love simply because you can. Simply because you have the ability to share that with them. Kindness isn't worried about being thanked or thought well of. Kindness is focused on, you have this need, and I think I have the ability to provide that for you, so I'm going to help you just because you need it. Kindness is love in action. And we see that in the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. At this point in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has just found out that John the Baptist has been killed. So John was Jesus' cousin, the one who baptized Jesus. He was a really important person to Jesus. There are a lot of scholars who think that Jesus started off as a disciple of John, learning from him. And Jesus has just found out that John has been killed. So you can understand that after hearing that, Jesus just wanted some time to himself. He wanted to be alone to mourn his friend. So it says when Jesus heard this, he got in a boat and went off by himself. Out in the middle of the lake, nobody's going to mess with him. But these massive crowds of people that had been following Jesus, they found out where he had gone and they followed him. They see him out there on the boat, and they're kind of following around, waiting until he lands at the other side. It says that Jesus saw the crowd and had compassion for them. Now, that word compassion is made up of two parts. Calm is a prefix that means with. And passion is from an old word that means to suffer. So the word compassion literally means to suffer with someone. To feel what they are feeling. Their hurt causes you to hurt. Jesus saw these hurting, tired, sick, hungry people. And he suffered with them. He felt what they were feeling. He was focused more on them than he was on himself. So Jesus gets there, he gets out of the boat, and he starts healing them. Not because of what was in it for him, but simply because they need it, and he can. But then they run into a problem. End of the day, it's dinner time. There's nothing to eat. They're out in the middle of nowhere by a lake. The disciples say to Jesus, send the people over into that village so they can go and buy food for themselves. To which Jesus says, don't make them leave. You give them food. The disciples are saying, make them fend for themselves. Like, make them provide for themselves. But Jesus says, no, you provide for them. And the disciples say, we don't have enough food to provide for them. All we have are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Basically, they're saying, this is our dinner. Right? Make them go find their own. The disciples are worried about themselves, focused on themselves. Jesus takes the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, and he somehow multiplies it so that there is enough to feed 5,000 people. Why did Jesus do that? Not because there was anything in it for him. He received no reward. In fact, it doesn't even say that anyone thanked him. He didn't do it so that people would thank him or say, oh, wow, Jesus, you are so great. He didn't do it for himself. He did it because he had compassion for them. He was suffering with them. He felt what they were feeling. They were hungry. They needed food. He had the ability to give them food. So he did. He acted out of love for them. That is kindness. What we see here is that God is kind. God has compassion for us. God suffers with us. God feels what we feel. God understands. And God acts out of that understanding. That is what it looks like to be kind. And you notice what Jesus doesn't do here. He doesn't say, I will help you if you first help yourself. He doesn't say, if you meet me halfway, show me a little bit of effort, show me that you deserve this, then I will help you. He doesn't say, earn it. He doesn't say, what's in it for me? He doesn't say, you didn't even say thank you. He doesn't do any of that. Because that's not kindness. Jesus helps them with absolutely no thought as to what it does for him. His actions are totally driven by what it does for them. Jesus suffered a painful, humiliating death on a cross. Not because of what it did for him. It cost him everything. He did it because of what it did for us. When we are seeking to live in ways that are kind, our actions will be driven only by what they do for that other person. Not what I get out of it, what they get out of it. What can I do to help you find fullness and love and every good thing, even if it costs me everything? That is kindness. But here's the thing. Kindness is easy when you're doing it for someone you love. Someone you know, someone you care about, someone you like. Jesus calls us to show kindness to the people we don't like. The people we don't get along with. The people we can't stand. He says, if you love those who love you, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Like, what does that say about you? Everyone does that. He says, love your enemies and do good, expecting nothing in return. God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. So be merciful, just as God is merciful. And actually, the Greek word there for merciful literally means have compassion. Just as God has compassion. Jesus calls us to act in kindness toward our enemies. This person who has hurt you, this person you really don't get along with, this person who you think is evil and awful, if you see them suffering, if you see them hurting and in need, what will you do? What Jesus says to us is, suffer with them. We are seeking to live by the Spirit of God, desiring the things of the Spirit above the things of this world. Then our lives will bear the fruit of kindness, suffering with other people, feeling what they are feeling, understanding them, and then acting toward them out of that understanding. Not because of what it does for us, but because of what it does for them. That is the kind of fruit that can miraculously feed the world. Amen.